The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
We continue with Hilchos Shabbos, Siman Ayin Beis, the laws of preparing for Shabbos. We're up to Sif Zayin. Yachin Basar V'Dagim Yachim, a person should prepare meat and fish, nice meat and fish, nice portions of meat and fish, umatamim and delicacies, v'yayim eshubach, and praiseworthy wine, meaning good wine, kefir chalte, as much as he is able, meaning according to his means, however much money a person has, so too he should spend as a proportional amount, and what for him is considered a significant amount, to honor the Shabbos with delicacies, as much as he is able. Ki mitzvah lecho b'chol suda misuda Shabbos dagim. It's a mitzvah. It's proper to eat every one of the three meals on Shabbos to eat fish. It may not mazikim lo, if they're not harmful to you, they're not bad for your digestive system, they don't hurt you, you're not allergic to them. Avol mazikim lo, but if they damage you, they're harmful. Lo yishenim arevim lo, they're not sweet to you, meaning you do not enjoy eating fish. Lo yechem, you should not eat them. Shabbos was given for delight and for enjoyment, not for pain. So all these food items, while generally speaking, meat and fish are considered delicacies and they are enjoyment for most people, if you happen to not enjoy these things, you really do not like meat, you really do not like fish, there's no mitzvah to eat them on Shabbos. As a matter of fact, there's a mitzvah not to eat them on Shabbos because you don't enjoy them. Rather, you should eat something else which you find to be enjoyable. Continues the Kitzer, v'yashchez es hasakin, and you should sharpen the knife that you will be using over Shabbos. Shezeh u'gamkim, he covered the Shabbos. This is also the honor of Shabbos, that the knife should be sharp. It shouldn't be difficult to cut whatever it is you're trying to cut. V'yasakin es habayis, and you should fix the house. I mean, you should arrange the house so it should look presentable. You should sweep. You should clear away the cobwebs, Mishnah Berurah mentions. V'yatzias hamitas, and you should spread the beds. I mean, you should make the beds, which really, mitas in this context is talking about the chairs or the couches they used to sit on for eating. And it should be spread nicely with whatever covering usually goes on top of it. V'yifres mafa al shulchan, you should spread a tablecloth over the table. So kol yom ha-shabbos, it should be spread over the table the entire Shabbos, even when one is not eating. One should still have a tablecloth spread out over the table. There are those who are careful to cover the table with two coverings, and the reason is because after the suda, after the meal, many people take off the tablecloth in order to shake off the crumbs. And when you take off the tablecloth to shake out the crumbs, the table is left bare. So while it's not such a big deal, it's only a short period of time, the medaktikim, people are careful, have two tablecloths so that even when they take off the top tablecloth to shake it out, they remain with the bottom tablecloth and the table is still covered in honor of Shabbos. The Yismach would be as a Shabbos. A person should be happy with the coming of Shabbos. It's something he should be looking forward to and be excited about. The Yachshev Adaito, he should think in his mind, Ilu Haya Mitzape, if he would be expecting, Sheyavei Malezer Adam Yakar V'chashev, he'd be expecting the visit of an honorable, special guest. How would he arrange the house? How would he make sure that everything is just so and perfect and clean and orderly in honor of his guest? And certainly, all the more so, the covered Shabbos Malgasa, the honor of Shabbos, the queen, which is really the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, that he comes to visit us. His presence comes and fills our home on Shabbos. Certainly, one should prepare the Shabbos in his honor. Biktas mekaymes, and there are some places, oisin pashtido and mulaisa, lesudas leil Shabbos, they make a pashtido or a mulaisa. There are different types of knishes, a meat knish. The point is that it has dough on the bottom and dough on the top with a filling in the middle, some type of pastry or knish. And the reason they do that is zecher l'man, is a remembrance of the man, which did not fall on Shabbos. So we remember the special kedusha of Shabbos, the special holiness of Shabbos, that the man did not fall on Shabbos. And we remember that by eating this food, which is covered on top and bottom, just like the man shehaya munach k'may b'kufsa that was placed as in a box, as if in a box, tal lemata, there was a layer of dew on the bottom, a tal lemala, and there was a layer of dew on top of the man. So too, we have this, say, the meat knish with meat in the middle and the dough covering its top and bottom. Yish litay merim Shabbos is a tavshil and shenasal Shabbos. There's a positive idea, positive thing to do, that one should taste the food that he prepared for Shabbos before Shabbos. And the Shabura says the simple explanation of this is that you should make sure the food tastes good. You don't want to come into Shabbos and have realized that the food you prepared in honor of Shabbos is not tasty, so you should prepare properly for the Shabbos by tasting the food before Shabbos. However, he does bring that there is more of a spiritual type of reason that even if you know for sure the food tastes good, still there is a concept that is a good thing to taste the food before Shabbos. And Svarim Kedoshim bring from the words we say in Musaf Shmoneh Esrei of Shabbos, Tayameh Achayim Zachu, those who taste it, they merit life, and that's a hint. The one who tastes the food on Erev Shabbos merits good things. Sifches. A filo should be Israel, even someone who's very poor, a Jewish poor person, is from the most poor and destitute among the Jews. His David, lining as a Shabbos, he should exert himself and he should make every effort to honor the Shabbos by providing delightful foods, enjoyment on the Shabbos. And the way he should do that is v'yitzamtzim echol shavua, he should limit his expenditures throughout the week. Kedei shiyu l'mayim la'is l'chavit Shabbos, he should have money in order to honor the Shabbos. He should be able to buy at least a little something for Shabbos. He may not be able to afford meat and fish, but at least he should be able to have something extra, something special for the honor of Shabbos. V'mayim la'im la'is, and even if he does not have ready money available, yilvei, he should borrow. Afilo Amashkenis, even if he has to use collateral, he has to use some of his objects that he has to give as collateral to secure the loan, it's worthwhile to do that with Tzarkei Shabbos for the needs of Shabbos. However, that's assuming that he has a reasonable payment plan. One should not borrow money not knowing how he's going to be able to pay it back. Otherwise, it's irresponsible and should not be done even Makavet Shabbos. Now, Zeramah Razel, and about this, our rabbis tell us, Bonai, or Beni, my son, my children, Levu Amai, Hashem says, borrow on my account, Vani Pare, and I will pay you back. So a person should be willing to borrow, even means it's going to be a little bit tougher later on. He's going to have to minimize his expenditures, he's going to have to pinch and save. In order to pay it back, it's worthwhile for the honor of Shabbos. The Chomazai Nesar Shaladim, and all the food that a person is going to get throughout the year, Kitsuvim Laimi Rosh Hashanah, they have been fixed a certain set amount on Rosh Hashanah when Hashem judges us and decides how much sustenance we're going to have for that year. It's been already set in stone. Chutz Me'etzah Shabbos, the Yom Tovim, except for the expenditures that one spends for the honor of Shabbos and Yom Tov, and parenthetically also for teaching his children Torah. That's not doesn't belong in this set of halachas. Shemaisif meisifalei, if he adds and he spends more than his allotted amount, Hashem will add to his allotment, increase his allotment, and he won't lose out because he spent more money on Shabbos. V'mashal dechuk Rabbi Yosi, but if literally means the time is extra pressured for him, which means he really does not have money. He really cannot find any extra penny to spend on Shabbos, to spend for the honor of Shabbos. I'll say Amr about this person. Our rabbis tell Amr Azal about this person. Our rabbis teach us, Asei Shabbat Chachol, it is worthwhile to make his Shabbos look like a weekday, meaning to have regular, plain old weekday food. His black bread and herring, his peanut butter and jelly sandwich, whatever he eats the rest of the week, he has exactly the same fare on Shabbos. Without it, starkly beers, and don't need other people, meaning don't take charity. If a person could get by without charity, he has enough to sustain himself, even though he's not going to be at all Shabbos food, he's not going to be any different than the rest of the week. It's worthwhile rather than taking charity. Mikol Magim, still, if it is possible, Yireh Al Kalpanim, he should see fit, at the very least, if possible, if at all possible. Last is, L'Kavet Shabbos, Ezer Dover Mu'at, to do it for the honor of Shabbos, at least a little bit, at least some minimal extra, kigain dogim ketanim, like some small fish, sardine, something extra you wouldn't have during the week, or something similar. Just to clarify, if you look in the Paiskim Mishnah Berurah, it comes out the following, really four levels when it comes to honoring the Shabbos. A person who's 100% completely destitute, and he cannot afford anything, zero, he can't even afford to feed himself, he has to take charity. And he should be taking charity, otherwise he'll starve. So for him, the person in charge of the charity fund has to give him a regular, full, normal Shabbos meals. He has to give him three meals worth of bread, and he should give him something to be able to, extra special, to honor the Shabbos. And if he's normally accustomed to having chicken, he should try to give him chicken. He should try to give him a regular Shabbos meal. If the person is not that destitute, he could actually support himself, but just the bare minimum. He could only afford regular weekday fare, nothing more. Then it's preferable for that person to sustain himself rather than take charity. And he should treat his Shabbos like a regular weekday. He'll eat two meals only, not three meals. He won't have anything extra for the honor of Shabbos. And that's preferable than taking charity. Somebody who has a little bit more money, and if he scrimps and saves and pushes himself, he could make a purchase, at least something in the honor of Shabbos, he should do that. He should push and try a little bit extra hard to be able to honor the Shabbos in some fashion, even though it may not be with extravagantly with meat and fish, but something extra. Extra little fish, not a special fish, something extra in honor of Shabbos. And someone who has more money, so as much money as he has, he should use to honor Shabbos in whatever way he's capable. A fancier food, more expensive food, better food, more of it, however much he is capable of doing. Continues the Kitzer. Misha shalchum le'ezer davim lafay b'Shabbos. If a person was sent something that it was intended for Shabbos, someone sent you a present, said, here, this is for Shabbos. Yesh le'vach le'v'Shabbos, he should eat it on Shabbos. It's inappropriate that he should leave it for a different time, meaning neither shouldn't eat before Shabbos, and he shouldn't eat it after Shabbos. So l'ashir l'chol, not to leave it for the weekday, it's a degradation of Shabbos. This was sent to you for the honor of Shabbos, and you're going to leave this food, special food that was sent to you for the honor of Shabbos, and use it for the weekday. It's not appropriate. Siftas. In lasos melacha b'derech keva b'erev Shabbos nimincha ketanu l'mal. A person should not do work on erev Shabbos in a regular manner. It shouldn't be have any amount of permanence in that work. It shouldn't be something he does on a regular basis, such as his job, for example. If he is able to, he should not do work after mincha ketanu. Mincha ketanu is 2.5 hours before halachic hours before the end of the day. So the disagreement among the Paiskim, that's before sunset or before this time when the stars come out. But that is in 2.5 halachic hours. You take the daylight and divide into 12 even parts. 2.5 of those parts before the end of the day is mincha ketana. Generally accepted time for that is 2.5 hours before sunset. So that would mean around the equinox when sunrise and sunset are both around 6 o'clock. So then this would be at 3:30 in the afternoon. So after that, one should not do regular work. But if it's temporary, it's like a one-time thing, it's not something which he's going to get involved in, it's a temporary type of activity, then it's permitted. And if it's for the needs of Shabbos, even after mincha ketana, it is permitted. The masa is big day chaver b'schar, to make or to sew, tailor your friend's garments for pay, also that is forbidden, because for you that is work. Well, for your friend it may be for the purpose of Shabbos, but for you that is considered work. You could do it for free, and then the work you're doing is specifically for the honor of Shabbos, and that would be okay. But to do it for pay, then you're working for yourself in order to make money, and that's not appropriate. That this late in the day on Friday. Achmishu ani, but someone who is poor, but writes him with a stacker and he wants to make a profit, Matzoyah Shabbos, that he'll have money to spend for the purpose of Shabbos. Mutter, like Chalayim, he's allowed to do work the whole day, just like in Chalayim, the intermediate days of Pesach and Sukkot, and one is not supposed to do work unless there's specific, specific rules. When he's allowed to do work, one of those rules is that if a person is impoverished and he needs the money in order to spend for the benefit of Yom Tov, then he's allowed to do work. He continues, L'saper es Yisrael, to give a Jew a haircut, and mutter kol yom, that's permitted the entire day, afil ma'asum, and even if it's a professional haircut, afil b'schar, even if you're getting paid, v'pnei sh'ataspeiris nikeres, sh'nesesa achsha b'shvil Shabbos, it's crystal clear that you're giving a haircut for the purpose of Shabbos, something which is obvious that it's for the purpose of Shabbos, and therefore is permitted to be done, even though you are actually getting paid for it. Nish liskar zachanuyeh sho'achas, if nish Shabbos stores, even though they're stores which sell Shabbos provisions, they should still be closed up an hour before the onset of Shabbos. Continues the kitzur sifyut. Mites sho'is zmaniyeh zolmal. From 9 hours, 9 halachic hours and above, which means, let's say in a 6 to 6 day, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 hours before the end of the day, 3 hours before sunset, and 3 halachic hours, so you divide the day in 12 even parts, and 3 of those parts before sunset, mitzvah limnaya milikvaya suda, it's proper to hold yourself back from establishing and eating a meal. If it's not an extravagant meal, it's not an extra large suda, the size suda you would normally eat for a regular lunch, but you should not have a late lunch on Friday, because we'd like you to go into Shabbos hungry, and so you can enjoy the suda of Shabbos more. And a suda which is you're not accustomed to eat during the week, meaning it's an extravagant, more of an extravagant meal, so a larger, fancier, wedding-type meal, even if it's a mitzvah, it's a suda of a mitzvah. If you could have made the suda a different day, for example, you are making a siyum, you could have made the siyum on Thursday, but you chose to make it on Friday, that's not appropriate. Also, in Shabbos, you're not allowed to make that meal on Erev Shabbos on Friday, call you the entire day, you feel the biker, because we're worried you're not going to be hungry for the nighttime suda. Ach, suda's mitzvah, if you have a suda's mitzvah, a mitzvah meal, which its time is fixed for today. Kigamila, for example, bris meal, the eighth day is the eighth day, whenever it is. And even if it's not the eighth day, but the baby, for example, is yellow, and you couldn't give the baby a bris on the eighth day, but now the baby is no longer yellow, and that happened on Friday, you make the bris right away on Friday. So today is the fixed time for that mitzvah. You're obligated to do the mitzvah at the earliest possible time. This was the earliest possible time, and therefore the su'udah that you make with the bris is considered a meal, which is mana kavua hayim, its fixed time is today, or pidyon haben, or the 31st day after a firstborn boy is born, that you do the ceremony of redeeming the firstborn, and there also you make a su'udah, that's a su'udah mitzvah, is supposed to be done today. A kedemer is something similar, mutter, that would be permitted on Erev Shabbos. When we call makim, it's still nachim, like dima, it's proper to make it earlier in the day, in the morning, as opposed to the afternoon. You shouldn't make it a lot, you should limit somewhat. Don't make it too extravagant. When we call shagin shalalech l'achil gasa, you shouldn't eat, overeat really, that you're stuffed to the point where you have a hard time eating more. The purpose of all of these laws is that you should eat these Suda Shabbos with an appetite. That is, again, it's an honor of Shabbos that you come to Shabbos and you're enjoying your meal, which will not happen if you do not have an appetite by the time you get to the Suda of Shabbos. Sifyut Aleph. Chayev kol adam lahashlim parsha Yosef matzibur. A person is obligated to complete his parsha, meaning the weekly portion, the weekly Torah reading, together with the congregation. What did that mean? The Hainu, this means sheyikra b'chol shavua, you should read every week, parshas ha-shavua, the parsha of that week, the Torah reading of that week, that is read in the shul on Shabbos. Shnayim mikra, you should read the Torah portion twice, the Torah, words of the Torah twice, v'achatagamim once the words of Unkelos, the Aramaic translation, which is divinely inspired, that was written by Unkelos. U'miyem rishon ve'elech, from Sunday and on, and really, Pesim tell us that from Shabbos afternoon by Mincha, when you have already started to read the upcoming week's portion, chashim imatziva, that's considered together with the congregation, and that's the time when you could read the parsha Shnayim Mikra Vechatayim, but earlier one cannot fulfill his obligation. Avraham mitzvah min amuvcha, the choicest way to perform this mitzvah, he in the Christ of Erev Shabbos, is to read the whole thing on Erev Shabbos on Friday, achar chatzai sayim, after midday. V'yish likra is called parsha, and the proper way to fulfill this mitzvah is, the optimal way to fulfill it is to read each parsha, meaning, dehainu psuchei stuma, each segment in the Torah. One looks in the Torah scroll and we'll see that it's broken up into sort of paragraphs, that there's a space in between the paragraphs. Some spaces are called an open space, there's closed spaces, those are fine details in the rules of writing a Sefer Torah. But basically the paragraphs in the Torah scroll, one should read each one of those paragraphs, each one of those segments, Shtei Pa'amim. You should read it inside. You should read the words of the Torah twice, V'achakach HaTargum Aleh, and then the Aramaic translation about those words. V'afilu Parsha Misayemes B'Emtza Pasuk, even if the Parsha ends in the middle of a verse, Nyasik Shom, you should stop there. And the Mishnah Berurah does not talk about this, but that is a somewhat of a surprise that you can stop even in the middle of a Pasuk. V'begemar, and at the end, Yesh Loimar Achar HaTargum Pasuk Yechav B'Torah, and you finish the whole parasha, you should end off with one more pasuk from the Torah, one more verse from the Torah. Kedei l'sayim b'Torah, you should end off. The last thing you say should be words of the Torah, not the words of the Targum. The Targum is preferable. Shalom yafstik b'sicha b'nakri. You shouldn't interrupt with talking during the reading of the Shnayim Mikra v'Chatargum. The Nayigim, the custom is likras gam haftarah, to read the haftarah reading that is read after the Torah portion in shul. And the reason for that custom was, in case they call you up to read the Haftarah, you should be fluent in it, and therefore in a place where the Baal Kairi reads the Haftarah, it wouldn't be such an issue. The Yishnagim, and we're talking here that you're doing this on Erev Shabbos, on Friday afternoon, and some have the custom after they finish Shnayim Mikra to say Shir HaShirim. And someone who is on the road, and he only has a chumash without the Aramaic translation, without Targum Unkelos, he should read the words of the chumash twice. When you get to a place that you have Targum, you should read the Targum. And optimally, one should finish, complete his reading of Shnayim Mikra v'Chatargum before the daytime Seuda. But if he's stuck, he could really complete it any time on Shabbos, and if he's really stuck, he has till the end of Tuesday, 3 days after Shabbos is over, to complete it. And if he's really, really stuck, he can really complete it up until Simchas Torah, when we make a siyum, a completion of the reading of the Torah, he could still fulfill his obligation of Shnayim Mikra v'Chatargum. Just one more word. Well, the optimal way to do reach Shnayim Mikra may be the way the Kitzur says it. And it's an obligation to say Shnayim Mikra, and therefore if one finds it difficult to do it that way, any way in which one does it is acceptable as long as you get it done. And therefore one should just make an effort to make sure to read the words in the Chumash twice, read the words of the Targum once, even if it's not done exactly in the way the Kitzur says it. For example, many people read along with the Torah reader in the synagogue in undertones, so no one else hears them, you don't disturb anybody else. They read along with the Torah reader in the synagogue, and that counts as one of the times of Mikra, even though it didn't end up doing it the way the Kitzur said it. Each segment should be done two times Mikra and then one time Targum. Still, as long as you get it done, you have fulfilled your obligation. Sif Yud Beis. Mitzvah called Adam Lirchot B'chol Erev Shabbos. It's a mitzvah, it's a positive command. It's a proper thing for everybody to wash their bodies on every Friday. Pun of Yadav Raglav. So it didn't say body, it says really minimum you should wash your hands, face, and feet. Your face, hands, and feet. B'chamin in warm water. Hot to warm water. Mashrin, if possible, Yirchat Kol Gufei Bechamish, wash his whole body in warm water. Remember, we're talking about a time it wasn't so common to take showers the way we do now. It's not such a big deal. But still, one should be careful, and one should really try to make sure to get home in time to take a hot shower on Erev Shabbos, because, as we see, it's a mitzvah. The proper thing to do is to prepare yourself for Shabbos by washing your body in warm water. And at the very minimum, if you really got home so late, you don't have time to take a shower, and one should at least wash his face, hands, and feet in warm water to fulfill this mitzvah. The Yitzvah is actually a mitzvah, and there's another mitzvah. Some have the custom to dip themselves in the mikveh. It just sounds like it's everyone should be doing this. Generally, it's more of a Hasidic custom, but it doesn't have to be. It's from the Kitzur that really he's bringing down that everyone should really go to the mikveh and a ritual mikveh on Erev Shabbos. Parenthetically, he brings down the Hagoyim Mehari Yavetz, the Goyin Rabbi Yaakov Emden, great scholar. Katan, he writes, Shalom Yirchat Kol Gufa, a person should not wash his whole body in warm water, because one is supposed to be with his wife on Friday night, and it's a good idea, and it's not good for the person, health-wise, for a person to take a hot bath on the same day is not considered nowadays. And the current medical knowledge does not seem to go with such a fact. And certainly the custom seems to be not like the Rabbi Yaakov Emden, rather the custom is to wash in hot water. Sifyud Gimel. Also in Le'echaitim, Aviv V'cham of Baal Ima Yobach Achai said, this halacha really is not limited to Shabbos, but because he's talking about bathing, he tells you some halachas of bathing in a bathhouse. In those days, they used to bathe in a public bathhouse. Nowadays, it would apply in a locker room setting or in a mikveh. It's forbidden to bathe together with one's father, one's father-in-law, one's stepfather, or the husband of your sister. It's considered a lack of tznius to bathe with any of these people because you see them undressed, and it's considered a lack of tznius. However, in a place where the custom is to cover their nakedness in the bathhouse, I mean, they're careful, they have to walk around with a towel or with a robe, and they go into the shower and no one sees them uncovered, mutter, then it's permitted, because the main point here is that you shouldn't see the nakedness of these people. The Chena Talmud, so to a student, a Torah student, one who has Rebbe who teaches him Torah, one should not bathe in the same bathhouse with his Rebbe. Vim Rabbi Tzorech Lashisham Shev, if his master needs him, if his Rebbe needs him to service him, so the master is old or feeble or has a difficult time, he needs somebody to help him out in the bathhouse, mutter is permitted for one student to go in with the Rebbe in order to help him out and to help him in the bathhouse.